Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Hour number two of the early line right here on Sports Grid, where we give you the edge and put the fun in functional sports content. I'm Dane Martinez. I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, with me. We spent the first hour, Kev, looking at the NBA playoffs, the results of game twos across the association. Well, time continues to roll on, and we've got game threes to discuss. Let's start with one. Brooklyn Nets, Toronto Raptors. Is this kind of an example of dead man walking, Kev? You know what I mean? Like, the Nets have shown that they are scrappy. We all know that Caris LeVert is a budding star in the making. We know that TLC cannot miss from downtown. We know that this team has, you know, Jacques Vaughn is trying to prove to the world that he can coach. And they hung in there. They showed fight. But this Toronto Raptors team is just a little bit too much in most people's opinion. They just do what they have to do. They get their working margin. You know, I don't see them tripping up like we saw with Milwaukee or like we've seen with the Lakers, right? This team is not prone to that kind of sleepwalk through it or not take it seriously because of this championship pedigree. So to me, I understand maybe if you want to take the 11 points, but, you know, Toronto keeps rolling, right?
I mean, I disagree a bit. They didn't cover last game. They were down going into the fourth quarter, right?
Okay.
So, like, you got to give, you know, either, you know, give Brooklyn their due or Toronto was sleepwalking. Like, I think it more has to do with the fight that Brooklyn puts forward. Now, the real tough thing today is, you know, and it will probably be the case for the remainder of this series, Joe Harris unavailable.
Right.
Joe Harris is obviously, you know, the second best player that this team has to offer with the state of this reset here. And I think this game for me, straight prop market game. Now, I'm going to need to take some time to decide if I'm going to actually pull the trigger here, but we'll start on the Brooklyn Nets side of things. Now that Joe Harris is out, what does this do for Caris LeVert? Caris LeVert, who's had double-digit assists in both these games, but has gone well below his prop market total, okay, in terms of points in each of the two games. The number right now at FanDuel sits at 24.5. Now, that's where it's been these first two games, if I'm not mistaken, but that's noteworthy. That number doesn't get moved up for Joe Harris's absence. And the thing about Caris LeVert is he has had the attempts to get over these numbers both times. Now, he is currently in a tough spot. OG Anunoby is someone that I've talked to with a couple of people on Betting Around the Rim. Dane, you and I spoke to Blake Murphy, who covers the Raptors team for The Athletic. They've talked about just how good of a perimeter defender OG Anunoby is. Some people think he might actually be the best the league is offering right now. And the one thing the Raptors do is, you know, it's very Belichickian, right? We're not going to make, we're going to make it very difficult for your best option, right?
Right. Play left-handed.
Try that. But like, hey, that is what they, like, that is something that they will try to do. But I think there's a world where Caris LeVert here, okay? And I'll put it to you like this. If I'm going to get 25 shots, which is what I think you're going to get from Caris LeVert today,
yeah,
then I'd much rather be on the over than be on the under. So I'm going to take a look at the Caris LeVert point prop. The other guy I think we need to look at, Dane, is the guy that's led the Toronto Raptors in scoring the first two games.
Yeah, can it be my guy?
That's, listen, Dane, he's still priced as the third leading scorer.
That's what I was going to say. I'm looking at the prop bet market, and this dude, who I jokingly now call the damn GOAT, is at 19.5, Kev. Like, when is this man going to get the respect he deserves? I'm dead serious. Like, I'm maybe a little bit going over the top here as we welcome in our radio audience around the country, including the mightier 1090 out there on the West Coast. You know, maybe I went a little too far when I said I think that Freddie Van Fleet is going to get a max contract. But Kev, maybe not. Like, this dude is a beast. And honestly, he is the number one option for the Toronto Raptors. It is not Kyle Lowry. It is not Pascal Siakam. If they're in crunch time, I want Fred Van Fleet taking the shot. And his prop total right now is 19.5, Ev. Am I just like falling in love with this guy too much? Do I have beer goggles on? Or is this total low?
I mean, based on everything we've seen from them, it's just low. But the prop, look, this is always going to be a tough thing for the books. They don't want to overadjust because then they get slammed under and then they lose money. But look at this. His points and assists is 26.5, okay? In game number one, he scored 30, so he went over that on that merit alone, but also had double-digit assists, so we're now up to 40. Game number two, he scored 24 points. All right, so now we're only three shy again just based on his points. He had double-digit assists again. So, Dan, I sit there and I look at his points and assists at minus
26 and a half.
Over 26.5.
Yeah.
And I think you can't argue that play. You cannot argue that play. Maybe he comes back down, okay? Maybe he does. But from what we've seen, at least in this series, that's the lead dog of this offense right now. He has flew over that number, okay, in all of these first two games here. So there's no reason to not take a look at 26.5.
Yeah, I don't understand it, Kev. I really don't. Like, this is something that we should just continue to go to the well with, because they are not adjusting it. You brought up the game log, Kev, right? I mean, he's flying over it. He's almost getting their combined, you know, points and assist totals with just points all the time. Like, if I was thinking about this, you know, this might be his damn points total, not the points plus assist total. To me, this is absolutely ridiculous. He's going to have the ball in his hand. So once he does start driving, the drive-in kick will be open for these other three-pointers. I think that Fred Van Fleet is maybe one of the most under-respected guys. All he has done, I know he was like, in essence, you know, kind of the tryout, was undrafted, but he did it in college. He's doing it now, and I believe he does, in fact, deserve a max contract in what's probably going to be a very truncated offseason and free agency that's moving. We heard about that as well. We got more series to break down. We'll do that when we come back here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, and Kevin Walsh is riding shotgun with me, as he usually does. Kev, I also want to remind the people, we've got a poll question up, right? And we're asking everybody which of the series that are tied 1-1, and half of them are, is going to go the longest, right? Do we have a seven-gamer here in us in the first round? And I find it interesting because one of the series that is getting a lot of votes right now with about 32% of the vote is this next one we're going to talk about, and that is Nuggets-Jazz. They are tied 1-1, but I think the Jazz could potentially, Kev, get a big boost in the new proud papa. Mike Conley may be back for these Utah Jazz here in Game 3.
Yeah, so Mike Conley has been quarantining. He's been listed as probable for this game. Mm. And optimistic the whole time that he would be able to clear quarantine. So we will see if that does come through. Here is the thing, though, about this number, Dane. When Mike Conley was expected to be there for game number one,
right,
the Nuggets were favored by 3 or 3.5 points.
Mm.
They are now favored only by 1.5. This is not a, oh, Mike Conley is back number. This is a lot to do with, I mean, I think it has to do with that somewhat, but they probably believe, well, look, first game went to overtime, and then the second game, the Jazz beat him up pretty good. The book clearly moving to the Utah side of things. This is, you know, about as far as they will move until they get the result, you know, on game number three. But I think this is a buyback spot on the Denver Nuggets. The shooting performance that the Jazz put forward was ridiculous. And yeah. I think the Nuggets, minus 120 on the money line, forget the point and a half, minus 120 on the money line here is very likely how I will play this game.
All right, so in this game, though, I understand what you're saying, kind of that adjustment from what before with the Conley, but the Nuggets are -1.5 in this game, minus 120 on the money line, and they still are the favorites in the series, Kev. You know, the Nuggets are minus 176, but the poll says it. You know, we're talking about this. This could be one that goes back and forth. If you like a team here, would you play with the series? Because you can get, you know, the Jazz at plus money, and Denver's not a huge favorite right now. This one is kind of up in the air with the books. How would you play this one again?
Yeah, so I already had when the Conley news was announced, laid a game and a half for like with this Denver team. I wasn't expecting him to be back already, right? So that obviously threw a bit of a wrench in my plan. But here's where it's also thrown a bit of a wrench, Dan. If I can just take us somewhere else quickly, is Donovan Mitchell prop?
Yeah,
Donovan Mitchell, 57 points, 30 points, right? His number is 25.5 because Mike Conley is back. That is interesting, to say the least.
Right.
Now, I mean, I've mentioned, okay, Donovan Mitchell has inefficient games in him that will be played in this series. But he has looked so good.
Yeah, he has.
So good in this series. I don't know if Mike Conley coming back means he only, you know, that you have to take 4 points off his total.
Right.
That's, man, I'm not saying I'm 100% going to pull the trigger here, Dane, but what do you think about the fact that they dropped this thing down 4 because just because Conley is back?
I think it's interesting. And so in response, part of what I'm looking for is to push it even further and look at the points plus assists, because I still think Donovan Mitchell will have the ball in his hand. I still think he's driving and kicking a lot. And so I wonder if it's even more when I see the points plus assists, but I actually don't see a spider points plus assists right now. But your point remains true, right? They're thinking that Conley's going to have the ball in his hands and use and take away some of that usage that we've seen of Donovan Mitchell. I don't agree. I think the Jazz know that they will go as far as Donovan Mitchell takes them. And so, you know, that's a low total for Donovan Mitchell. I think for them to win, he's going to have to do very well. I like where you're going in this one. I would also go over on Donovan Mitchell. I do want to get to the next series, though, Boston and Philadelphia. And for me, listen, we know Gordon Hayward is out. We know those young wings for the Celtics are really carrying the day. I remember saying before the playoffs, I thought this was a coming out party for Jason Tatum. He has not disappointed. Jaylen Brown as well. The key here, though, has to still be Kev, Joel Embiid, right? It still has to be Embiid, similar to Anthony Davis. How is he playing? Will he be dominant? Can he carry the load for the Philadelphia 76ers? But I don't know if he can anymore, because this C's offense, especially with Tatum and Brown, seem to be humming right now, Kev.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, right? Joel Embiid had 34, 10, better than 50% from the field, 12 or 13 from the line. Like, and they lost by 27 points.
Like, yep.
They lost by 27 points. The idea that Embiid can go out there and be the best player on the court and this team can still get punched in the mouth. Now, maybe you would argue that Tatum was the best player on the court with his 33, wildly efficient as well, and was the game high plus 29. But, you know, Embiid was right there, and the gap was massive. To be honest with you, Dane, this is a very, very tough game for me to call, because I think there's a world where Philly can still be somehow competitive in this series. I like to think that some of these other guys can step up and shoot a little bit better. I feel like Boston coming back after that one-game boost sometimes you get from a player's absence, like they had with the Gordon Hayward absence, is all there to play for. But to say that I have any confidence in Philly after what they put forward in those two games, we talked about with the Pacers, right, offensively, just nothing there. The Sixers scored 101 points in these first two games, in both of them. Man, I think you want a somewhat safer angle on this game. The team total for the Celtics is 110.5. The way that they've played, it feels like it'll be hard for it. Feel like they should be scoring. You know, look, we try and give people takes and leans for every single game, you know, and we do the best that we can. But to tell you guys that I have any play right now that I'm confident in making in this game, now it might advance throughout the day, but right the moment, Dan, there's nothing I'm confident in about this game coming up next.
Jason Tatum, 28.5 points. Marcus Smart, 12.5 points. These are guys that could be interesting to me. But as you talk about the narrative about this Philadelphia and their ability to bounce back, that's what I would question, right? Because we've questioned their fight, their toughness, their team culture, right? Yeah. So this idea of now being down 2-0, right? Are there some other teams that, you know, I can see them, you know, keeping on the good fight? Like even Brooklyn, to a certain extent, you talked about it and you were like, hey, they're still in it. They're fighting. I don't see that in Philly. You know what I mean? So for them to now ask them to like overcome adversity is going to be very hard. And I believe these Boston Celtics are cooking with gas and starting to, you know, find themselves what they need to do, especially with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So I'm with you. I find it hard to think that the 76ers will have the testicular fortitude required to bounce back in this series against what could be a train in Boston. Real quick, the last one today is Dallas and the Clippers. You know, this is another one, you know, Kev, where it's like, which do we believe? Over the last two games, I believe Dallas was the better team. Like when you were talking about Portland and LA, right? And you're like, you take out two of those quarters and it's been dominant, the defensive efforts, right? If you take out that portion of time when there was no Kristaps Porzingis on the floor, Kev, I don't care how you slice it, just straight up, the Dallas Mavericks have outplayed the Los Angeles Clippers in the two games as long as Kristaps Porzingis has been eligible to be on the court.
100%. There's no really arguing that. This Mavericks team should feel 100% live in this series. With that being said, this could be a big bounce back spot for the Clippers. This is still a series, right, Dane, that we would think is going to go back and forth. Like, I don't think the Mavs at five or really where people are starting to angle it here. Clippers are coming off of a very, very poor three-point shooting performance. Okay, as a team, they were below 30%. You'd like to think that can bounce back a little bit. And the fact that they shot 40 free throws in that game. And that is a ridiculous amount of free throws. But I think the Clippers in a bit of a bounce back spot, Dane. I've got an early lean to them here. 5.5, maybe that number can come down a little bit. 5, who knows, maybe even 4.5. And we feel good about backing this team.
All right, I also want to let you know in that prop market, I've mentioned it the first two games in this series. I got to mention it again. Plus 210, Kev, for Luka Doncic to get a triple-double. He's come very close both of those games. Maybe he controls those turnovers, and that best offensive efficiency of all time, Kev, can help Dallas continue their good ways. When we come back, we talk Major League Baseball. Let's get caught up on all the news and notes and the update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the Early Line here and across the country with our radio audience, including out there on the West Coast with the mightier 1090. Thanks for waking up bright and early with us. I'm Dane Martinez. As always, I got my co-pilot, Kevin Walsh, here as we put the fun in functional sports content. Kev, let's move to Major League Baseball. And the headline story here is we have another team. We have another team with positive COVID cases. We have another team that will have games being kind of postponed or rescheduled or on pause. This time it is the New York Mets, Kev, where yesterday we found out one player and one staff member or coach did test positive. But, you know, Kev, at this point, one thing we've learned from, you know, COVID-19 is when one person tests positive, it is very likely, right, that over the course of the next couple of days, unfortunately, that number with all these people that were traveling together or in close contact together, that number may grow. And so they've already decided to postpone the first game of the Subway Series, which was supposed to take place against the Yankees tonight. They haven't made a full-on decision about the rest of the weekend series, at least not yet. But you got to know where this one is heading, the same way it's been heading when other teams have positive tests. But the news here is that the Mets do have cases, and tonight's Yankees-Mets game has been postponed.
So I think the biggest takeaway for me on this one, Dane, is that the Major League Baseball regular season has no integrity. It doesn't really matter. Right. I think that's why they're looking at the bubble. They're not going to make these games up. We're not going to get to 60 games. They'll try, but it just doesn't matter. Because it's been everywhere, okay? It's been everywhere. Yeah. Now I don't know. Have we still seen the West stay unscathed? I think potentially, off the top of my head, yes. I don't think we've seen any AL or NL.
Unless there was, yeah. The West has been unscathed so far, but we're not halfway so through far. The season yet, Kev.
No, I know. But this is. I mean, look at it though, right? You know, you've got the Mets that have played 26 games.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Marlins have played 18. So the Marlins catch up to them. And now what? We feel better about it? No. The Cardinals have played 14 games. The Cubs have 16 wins. Like, you know what? Like, this, this is the end of the day. We're going to keep chugging along. We're going to have our 8 postseason teams. We're going to go into a bubble. And that's the playoffs, then probably. When, we're going to go into a bubble for the playoffs. And then that's when it'll start to kind of matter and have more stakes. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, you'll keep looking to see where your team is in the standings, and you're going to keep on, making sure, you know, that final week or so, be like, all right, this team has to go here because it's going to be a lot up for grabs. But the idea that this regular season has any integrity now, it's just not there. And how much of them, you know, how much you want to put the blame on baseball at this point, it's not even relevant. It's just the reality of what we're dealing with here. We're going to have way more teams not play 60, it feels like, than actually play 60.
Are we going to have way more teams not play 16 NFL games than play 16? Because, you know, I want to read the tea leaves here, Kev, right? And like I said, it's only halfway through the season. We now have what? This is probably, what, fifth team that's been compromised, yeah. Miami, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, St. Louis, and now the Mets, right? There's been ripple effects with other teams. You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates come to mind that don't get to play teams. The Yankees come to mind that have had their schedule, you know, kind of upheaval happening because they happen to have on the docket teams that were caught up in this. So I think you're right. For me, though, Kev, here's what it is. Let's not be naive about this. The reason Major League Baseball, the reason the owners want to push on is not because of normalcy for the fans. It's not to give this country something to watch. It is to satisfy television networks who get their money. Okay. So if the television show specifically that is the Major League Baseball playoffs can go on air, it's going to happen, Kev, right? And that's the only thing. That's what would define success, in essence, for Major League Baseball and the owners, right? Do we get on to put the television show that is the playoffs? It's not about, like, all the ripple effects and the, like you mentioned, the schedule or standings integrity to get to that point. They don't give a damn about that. They give a damn about fulfilling their contracts with their stakeholders, constituents, and partners, right? So if we have playoffs, they'll consider it a W. But you're right, like, this idea of the inconsistency of the fidelity and competitive balance is out the window. I think we have to kind of like accept that for what it is. You know, you're a wrestling fan, right, Kev? Like, you can accept it as entertainment if you realize what it is, right? And this is the same kind of thing, I believe. You can accept this if you realize they ain't going to be even schedules. This is going to be an asterisk kind of thing. If you take that, maybe you can still get something out of it. My question is, are we going to see the same thing in other big time outdoor team sports? Like, will there be NFL teams that don't make it to the finish line?
I mean, that's a whole nother issue because I don't know how they're going to figure that out. Again, Major League Baseball, you can play doubleheaders, right? In the NFL, you can't do that. Like, that's not a thing. You know, you might try and pass up on a bye week, okay? Because we saw that, right? Remember, there was a Bucks game. Last year, 2 years ago, where there was like a thunderstorm, they couldn't play it, they had to cancel the game.
Right.
And then they ended up making it up like later down the road. So, but that's, and you're going to need like both teams at the same bye. Like, is that really going to, you know, like,
it's tough.
Man, you're talking about a lot of the NFL having to navigate those type of things is going to be close to impossible. And that's what's so risky about that season. And look, again, I'm not naive to the idea. Like, and I don't mind about it. Like, of course they're putting this on to make money. Like, that's that's the driving force behind the product. That's not. But my point is, you know, there's another kind of, you know, a story we're going to hit here that pertains to the Yankees and things changing. You know, and we can expand on it. But as a spoiler, my answer is going to be, it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, let's go to it. Let's find out. Because you say the Yankees. You know, the Yankees will not be playing the Mets, at least today, probably for the rest of the weekend, right? You know, these things don't be like, oh, it's okay, go ahead. They're going to be an abundance of caution, I believe, especially if the New York Yankees are involved. But you're absolutely right, okay? The Mets have come out. We have the statement there. We can put it on the screen now. They realize what is going on, and we'll see how this happens. It's almost like we're immune to it at this point, though, Kev, right? Because we've seen this. We know what is happening. But for the Yankees, they now are on pause after being swept, Kev, by the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you look at the standings in the American League, you know, the Houston Astros are not at the top of the AL West. It's the Oakland A's. In the East, the Yankees are not at the top of the AL East. It is the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are hot as all hell. They have won 5 in a row, and they now take on this weekend the Toronto Blue Jays, Kev, who are also winners of their last 5. They're there in that spot in the, you know, third place in the AL East, but with an above 500 record, they would be in the playoffs right now as well. So we got two hot teams linking up in Tampa, Ryan Yarbrough for the Rays, Matt Shoemaker coming back for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Rays are -152 favorites in this one. This is a big weekend series in the AL East and the American League.
Well, yes, this is obviously, like, it's big for the Blue Jays and for the Rays. But the point that I'm making here with this Rays Yankees thing, and why it does not matter that they're in first place. And again, good for them. They're in first place.
Well, they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, 8 teams.
Like that, like, the Yankees are going to make it. The Rays are going to make it. We're not going to have any type of home field advantage when we get to the postseason. And we don't even really have one right now. And we saw this with the Yankees this weekend. All that matters is being healthy. That's all that's going to matter. Win enough games to qualify and then be healthy. Because even if the Yankees drop to third, it doesn't matter. Round one is all even. They're not going to be in some one-game playoff. It's going to be a three-game, right, series between, you know, them versus once. Fine. That's what it's going to be. Because look at this. At the end of the day, right, you know, your two line is the Yankees, the Indians, and the Astros. And your one line is the Rays, the Twins, and the A's. What are you more worried about? Just be honest. It's not a slight to those other teams. But do you want to see Bieber, Clev?
That's what I was going to say. No, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say, Kev. I think those two things are the important pieces here, okay? The idea of finishing first or second, right? Because remember a couple of things. One, there's another tweak to the playoffs this year, Kev. Yeah, it's the eight teams. But remember that the team with the highest record, or let me actually double check this with you. I don't know if they formalized this. Remember they said the team with the highest record was going to be able to, like, draft their opponent for the first round?
Is that still a thing, though?
When they expanded to 16. When they expanded to, we'll have to check on this in the break, okay? Let's make sure we check on this in the commercial break, because if that is the case, Kev, then no, it does matter. You know what I mean? Because if you're drafting your opponent, I do think it matters, and you're absolutely right. I was going to go to the same exact place. The Cleveland Indians have now won six in a row. They're only a game, half a game back of Minnesota, and Bieber with another fantastic performance last night, right? Striking out 11. And remember, in a three-game set, you don't want to draw Bieber in game one.
No.
You know, and that sort of thing. So that's the key for me here. We'll check it in the commercial break, or someone can get in my ear. But I remember the idea of picking your opponent as well. Right. So when you add that factor in, does that change it for you at all? Needing to be the one seed or trying to win that division? Does that change it? Because you're right. Those six teams, they're going to get in. But you don't want to be the last draft pick there and wind up maybe seeing Bieber.
But to be fair, though, I have a feeling that that's not a thing. Just based on, because I feel like if it was 100%, we would remember. And now, look, right now, if you go through the matchups, I actually think the Yankees would draw Cleveland in round number one. But this stuff is just going to fluctuate. The Indians are half game back of Minnesota, and the Yankees are half game back of Tampa. That's just my overarching point here. I don't care. You just want to be healthy. Like, at the end of the day, right, that's all that this is going to come down to. At the end of every Yankees game, they slap two more guys on the IL. That's what matters, not the Rays coming in and sweeping the Gio Urshela-led Yankees.
No, I think that's true, but you don't want to slide to a point. Everything I'm seeing is that, yes, it is in place for just this season. We'll talk about that in other games when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and, of course, my co-pilot, Kevin Walsh. Kev, you know, we were talking about, and you're right to clarify, okay, it will be kind of a bracket. That idea of drafting your opponent is something like a number of things that were kind of thrown out there in that back and forth. But even to the same point, right, with the three teams getting in, you don't want to be stuck 4-5 and see another very good second place team, right? These second place teams right now are the damn New York Yankees, the damn Houston Astros, and Bieber in game one with the Cleveland Indians, you know, so it is not a easy proposition. You still definitely will want to win your division if you possibly can. I do want to take a note because history was made yesterday with my adopted team of the Fathers, Kev. They, who was it? It was Eric Hosmer yesterday that went yard with a grand slam. We've heard it in the update. We've heard it with Manny Machado going grand slam. We know about the Tatis grand slam earlier in the week that started some controversy, but now they go for, I think it's 4 days in a row, Kev, a grand slam for the San Diego Fathers. The Fathers got a win. The Fathers are streaking a little bit. They've won four in a row, and they are taking on another team. It's one of the rare in not divisional matchups today. It looks like they are taking on, though, the Houston Astros in a weekend set, and they are hot as well. Astros have won 8 in a row. Padres have won 4 in a row as they try to keep pace in the NL West, which is proving to be, you know, one of the toughest divisions in baseball with 4 teams at 500 or better.
Yeah, it's a fun matchup here. The Astros are obviously with 8 in a row, hottest team in baseball right now. They played 2 games that went massively over at Coors Field, 13-6, followed up the next day with a 10-8, though both victories for them. The Padres beat up on the Rangers, which is awesome. Bunch of losers, that team. And I'm glad they had a grand slam every single day. I look at, though, from that kind of perspective there, right? Now, their totals are, you know, a little bit more interesting. What has, you know, when you start pulling away grand slams and what have you, just from those numbers. But we don't have anything yet here for this game. But I think right now, with the way that these two offenses are playing, you're probably going to look to the over.
Yep, I would agree with that. And remember, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to push it, whether it's swinging 3-0 or stealing third base as well, what he did in that last series. But obviously, we've talked about it. Let the kids play, have the personality in it, in there. We talk about the NL West. I mentioned the Astros, but in the NL West, Kev, we've got a big-time battle this weekend. You know, we were right to pick over in those games recently in Coors Field when we talked about those two teams linking up, right? And I remember we gave out the over because it was a day game in Coors yesterday. The Colorado Rockies, though, are on the road, and they go to L.A. to take on the Dodgers. And this one, you got John Gray, the, you know, technically was the nominal maybe ace of the Rockies, although Marquez has been great. And Walker Buehler, though, on the other side for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are -250 favorites in this one. Even though the Rockies are still above 500, they have faded a little bit as of late. Charlie Blackmon has also faded a little bit as of late, still hitting over 420, for goodness sakes. What do you think about this one, though? Are the Rockies now just kind of like stepping up in class? Will they be able to handle the Dodgers in LA this weekend?
Hey, no, you know what? I'd rather take the Rockies here, getting all this plus money. Walker Buehler has not been what he was last year. And maybe that'll start to come back to the pack a little bit, but he's just not really justified being this size of a favorite. And look, the Rockies have been all right. Like, this isn't a team that I would just comfortably assume, oh yeah, they're going to go out there and lose 5 in a row, 6 in a row, 7 in a row. You know what? Like, they're, you know, Scott Wetzel, I heard once kind of talk about an approach to a series. He's like, sometimes I won't bet games. I'll just bet a series. So the Rockies are going to play 3 games here against the Dodgers. And, you know, he'll do things. He's like, look, I'm just going to take the Rockies each game. He goes, and if I hit one, I'm good, right? Now, maybe they will get swept. Mm-hmm. But I think that might be an interesting way to approach this series. Now, if I got my first game, I might kind of back out and be good, right? But I think the Rockies here, if you guys, because, you know, obviously we're getting you set up for the weekend as well. If you just want to roll with the Rockies in the series, I don't mind that approach, actually.
Okay, fair enough. We shall see how it goes down. The idea of just, you know, blind betting them and hope for the 2 out of 3 is an interesting way to skin the catch. Shout out to our guy, Scott Wetzel. You can hear him on Bagels and Bad Beats, 5 to 7 a.m. Eastern time, right here on this network. I want to ask you, Kev, you know, there were some teams that got out to early starts that we would have never expected, right? You know, the Detroit Tigers were playing well. Well, they've lost 9 in a row. Right. The Baltimore Orioles were playing well. Well, they've lost 5 in a row. I want to ask you about the Miami Marlins. They have also lost 5 in a row. They have been decimated by obviously the pandemic. You know, at some point, like 17 guys on their roster were down. They've brought in all these extra arms. And it's a nice story, right, Kev? But they have now lost. You know, they have now also lost 5 in a row. They see the Washington Nationals this weekend, okay? And the Nationals, 3 games under. But I'm going to tell you something. I think this is a big weekend series for the Washington Nationals, because if they can take advantage of a Marlins team, right, that is sort of exposing themselves. We know these kids that are at the alternate training site, and, you know, we talked about them as not really. They're the AAA team. You know, if Washington can make hay in this weekend series, right, and get to 500, we can easily wake up with these Washington Nationals right back in the playoff chase in like second place in their division. And last time I checked, they still have Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin, which can still be the trump card in that division. I know it doesn't sound big, but the Miami Marlins versus the last place team in that division, to me, is a big series in the NL East. And, you know, it's being booked that way. The Nationals are more than two bill favorites, even though they're technically in last place. Are the Marlins about, like, has the clock struck midnight here, Kev? Are they about to turn into a pumpkin? And can you take advantage of it with the Nats?
So I don't know if this is perhaps capturing my attitude towards Major League Baseball with what I'm about to say here. But is there a world where we just take the Marlins, the Tigers, and the Orioles today and hope we get two out of three and that they can stop this bleeding? Is that an insane proposition to you?
Insane? No. Would I do it? No. You know what I mean? So, like, no, I don't think it's insane. I'm not going to call you that, my friend. You are obviously helping us give out winners and putting the fun in functional sports content. I would never say that about you.
Yeah.
But no, I would not do that.
Yeah, no, look, and I don't know if I really would either. But it is.
All three of those teams are like lost at least five in a row. You know what I mean? Like, it was
right.
It's nice. We knew this was going to happen somewhere in Major League Baseball. The fact that it happened with Detroit and Baltimore and then Miami with the added ripple effect, right, of them doing this while dealing with a COVID outbreak among their roster, obviously was an interesting story. But, you know, to your point, though, Kev, remember when we were talking about the playoffs and you were like, hey, it's not going to matter, right? When I look at the AL East, Tampa and New York, yep, that sounds about right. When I look at the West, Oakland and Houston, yep, that sounds about right. When I look at the Central, Minnesota, Cleveland, with Chicago still threatening, yep, that sounds about right. So if that's the way we're starting to come to here in Major League Baseball, right, then you also have to agree that the Tigers falling off, right, that the Baltimore Orioles not being sustainable, right, or the Miami Marlins turning back into a pumpkin. We also have to agree, Kev, sounds about right.
No, 100%. I mean, and that's, you know, it's just a matter of, like, how bad is it going to get for these teams? And what's nice, though, when we talk about Baltimore and Miami's five-game losing streak is we're talking about the Tigers, who have extended a five-game losing streak into a nine-game losing streak. So, no, there's no guarantee that this bleeding necessarily stops. But I'll just add this, because I made this point to you off air, so I might as well make it here as well. And part of the reason why I'm like, listen, like, this just doesn't matter. You know, ESPN offers expected to make the playoff percentage. And in the American League, six teams are above 96%, with a seventh being at 89.8. Seven of the eight spots are basically done. And we're just going to have to figure out seeding. And then it's whether the Blue Jays or the Angels. Like,
let's see, the
whatever.
Blue Jays are one, like, over. So, yeah, we're talking about the Blue Jays and, like, the Rangers. Well, to be honest, the Blue Jays are sitting pretty, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Right? They're the only other team above 500.
But that's because they won five in a row. Like, that's what they, like if the
and
Angels
that comes to my Washington Nationals point. That comes to my Nationals point. If they get hot against the Marlins this weekend, which, like I'm saying, sounds about right, then they are right there, you know? And with these pauses in the schedule, with every team not getting to 60 games, you're right. It's going to be very interesting. A half game is going to be the difference.
The NL, though, is a mess. The NL is a mess.
Talk to me about it.
Like, I mean, so we were just kind of talking about the overwhelming favorites that exist out there. There's only two teams that are above 90%. In fact, there's only two teams that are above 82%.
Atlanta and Chicago? Or Chicago and the Dodgers? Chicago and the Dodgers?
Yeah, Chicago and the Dodgers. Yeah, right.
Atlanta's got to be there also, right? Atlanta's got to be there.
They're at 81.9. Your beloved Padres sit at 78.6. Every team below
that. They're the fourth highest percentage? The Padres are the fourth highest percentage in the NL?
And they're 15 and 12. The whole thing is a mess out there. The Phillies are 9 and 12 with a 58.2%. The Mets are apparently still likely to make it because everybody here is terrible. The Rockies get no respect. They're 41.6.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. I'm just saying, that's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, no, but, like, look, my whole thing is just the National League, where your national point is well taken, right? But the American League, if you legitimately look at it, I would almost be shocked if those seven teams, if one of them is out. Like, seven of the eight spots in the American League seem locked up. And then you go to the National League, and it's like,
right.
And to be quite honest, I'd be comfortable betting the damn yes on Blue Jays also right now, if you want to know the truth in the American League, right? But I do think it's interesting. That's why we talk about this NL West. You know, going into the season, we thought the NL East was going to be the gauntlet, but the NL West might be that answer, right, Kev? You know, the Dodgers are there. You know my Fathers. Yeah. I like, they've got the fourth highest league. But here's the other way. Here's the way I'll talk about it more. And I think what may be even more important, nobody's out of it, Kev. Right? We've talked about that with the trading deadline coming up in about a week, right? If I literally, in the American League, outside of Boston, right? Because I think they are kind of looking themselves in the mirror. Even the GM came out and said, we know it's a process, especially with the pitching rotation, right? JD Martinez could be on the way out. You know, guys like Brandon Workman could be on the way out. But literally, outside of Boston and Detroit and okay, Seattle, no one's really out of it. Can the Angels make a run? Maybe, right? But I think Angels probably think they're still in it. Let's put it that way, right? So, I mean, nobody's out of it at this point.
Dane,
a weekend series sweep and bang, you're right back.
Dane, there are six teams that are out of it, I think. I think it would be fair to say six teams are out of it. The Mariners, the Tigers, the Royals, the Red Sox from the AL, and then the Pirates and the Giants in the NL. I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's about it.
I think that's fair.
That's about it.
That's only six. Right. I mean, that's 24 teams. You only got six sellers. Now, but that's what we were talking about. Decision time is coming. Do you want to make this push or do you want to bow out? Decision time is coming.
And that's why I say a team like the Nationals, who are technically in last place, still have a series sweep away from being right there and having to decide one way or the other. When we do the early line, Kev, on Monday, it's going to be all the more different and even more complicated. We'll come back, see what's going on the morning after, right after this. Keep it locked right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line right here on Sports Grid. I always say it, but boy, do we put the fun in functional sports content and keep it locked all day long here, okay? That's what we do on Sports Grid. We also are giving you the edge, and boy, have Jared and Ariel been doing that recently on the morning after. And so we bring in our guy, Smitty, Jared Smith, here for a second. I got to ask you, I know you're in, you know, you're talking soccer a lot. We're heavy into the NBA playoffs. I want to ask you about a specific prop that Kevin and I stumbled upon. And I may sound like I'm going over the top here, Jared, but I don't think I am. I believe that Fred VanVleet deserves a max deal this offseason, Jared. I honestly do. The man is a revelation. He's the best option for Toronto. And his points plus assists prop today in their game three against the Brooklyn Nets, we both think is criminally low at 26.5 points and assists. He's been getting that with just the points recently. When are they going to respect my man, Freddie Van?
I don't, it's definitely not today. I mean, even his rebounds prop 3.5. I feel like this guy's always around the ball, guys. I mean, it does seem like he has emerged.
Can we get the syndicate to make a play here?
Cog. Yeah, it definitely seems like he's emerged as the cog. And I don't think it makes sense to really bet these, especially this Nets game with the spreads, you know, the astronomical spreads. Kevin and I were sweating out that Bucks line last night. Like, you know, we were waiting for the anvil to drop. But I think the prop market with the big numbers is definitely the way to play it, because if those teams play well, the back door will be open, but the prop will cash and it'll cash early. So I think VanVleet's the way to play it today. I mean, he's definitely emerged as the main piece in this Raps offense.
Yeah, definitely. Jared, only 20 seconds left. What do you guys got coming up today?
Just, you know, the regular Friday. You know, Steve Elkington's coming on the show to talk a little golf. Nice. We'll have Mafia Carver on to do their thing with a little hockey, UFC. Jim Sonnis as well with some NASCAR. So as usual, stacked Friday on TMA. Very excited show.
Absolutely. Keep it locked for that. Kevin and I will see you back here Monday on the early line. Have a great weekend, everybody. The morning after is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.